What is up, Confidence Crew? Welcome to another episode of Confidently She. I'm your host, Rebecca Biggie, and I'm here to talk about something that maybe I missed. Maybe I assumed that everybody was on the same page and knew what this term was and how prevalent it is in our culture, but I was looking back on some past episodes and realized I never addressed this head on. So this episode, I'm going into what exactly is diet culture and how do you identify it and how does it impact you? Because in a lot of the research and thought process and planning that I'm doing for my book, Social Currency, that I'm writing, I'm realizing that so much of the social currency, the status that we have as women is determined by our beauty, obviously, but then that is determined and set by diet culture standards. So you can't talk about body image if you're not talking about diet culture. And so I wanted to take a minute, well, 20 minutes or so, to explain what diet culture is so that you can be aware of it and so that you can see just how much it's impacting you and really everyone in our culture. And if you're really interested in learning more about that, pick up a pre-order copy of Social Currency. It's available starting August 1st and ending August 31st. So grab a copy. Come back here, keep listening, because Social Currency is going to be a lot more detail about this concept and how it's applied and used in our culture. So diet culture, dieting itself can be a good thing. And hear me out, okay? Because I think that I have said before that dieting is a scam. Dieting doesn't work. And in a certain way, that is true. But before we can talk about whether or not we are supporting diets, we need to define what a diet is. And honestly, your diet is just what you eat. Okay, so everybody has a diet. Everybody. But this term has been hijacked and used in a way to say that I am trying to lose weight intentionally. That's what we think of when we think of dieting. Our words that we use are so important. And so that's why in my method, I always start with, what are you trying to do here? What is the definition of this word that you're using or of this idea or of this goal that you have? What does that look like? Okay. So what is the definition of a diet? Well, really, the definition of a diet is what you're eating. But what do you think about when you hear the word diet? It's a set of rules, usually restrictions, with the outcome of losing weight. But we all know that there are a lot of different types of diets out there. Some diets are plant-based diets, okay? Are you going to sit there and tell me that plant-based diets don't work? Well, it depends on what you mean by work. Like, do they work to keep your body fueled and alive and running? Yes, they do. So you kind of have to deconstruct the language before you get into making judgments about diets. And there are some diets that you can go on to try to have more energy, to build your strength, or to decrease certain types of foods or whatever. I mean, technically I'm on a diet because I limit my dairy because I have a hormone kind of reaction when I eat dairy. So technically that's a diet. So it's not that all diets are bad. Be very mindful of blanket statements like that. They are rarely true. There's usually always an example of, you know, something that doesn't fit an extreme point of view, right? So diets are not bad, but diet culture is specifically around diets that have the intention of losing weight for aesthetic purposes. Losing weight itself is not inherently a good or healthy thing, but Sometimes it can be. Sometimes. Sometimes it is very healthy to lose weight, but not in every case. And sometimes it is healthy to gain weight, but that idea goes against everything diet culture tells you. So if you are listening to this and the idea of gaining weight is scary to you, that is a side effect of living in diet culture. Because diet culture tells us that the thinnest, smallest version of ourselves is the most beautiful, the most attractive, the healthiest version of ourselves as women. That's diet culture. And these messages are not that obvious, okay? So it's not like there's a billboard that says, you know, you need to lose weight in order to gain value, all right? Like, no, that's that they're not just going to come right out and say that. But they say different things. And they judge women based on appearances. They compare women based on what they look like, how they were dressed, rather than treating women as people. It's this slow movement of shifting women into the category of objects to be compared, to be critiqued, to be looked at, and to say, do you like this or not? And this is not to say that, like, this is just a reason to get pissed, right? I think that there are so many people who they hear these types of messages. And this is actually part of my, like, 8 different steps to moving in from body insecurity into body confidence. And one of those steps, believe it or not, is anger. It is anger, because once you realize just how pervasive this is in our culture and our society, there's no other rational response than to be so annoyed and to be so angry that, oh my gosh, I can't believe that I have been brainwashed and into thinking this. And that's part of the process, is to get your anger out, but you can't stay there. Anger is only helpful for a short period of time. You can't take action based off of that anger. You being angry doesn't mean you are winning. You being angry means you're spending a lot of energy on something that you can't control. You can use that to fuel different decisions in your life, but you can't stay angry. That's not where we want to stay. We want to get to a place of confidence and peace, okay? And when you're angry, you cannot also have peace, right? Those things are kind of opposite. So some people, they hear this and they just get pissed. And that's not what I want this to be. That's not what I want you to feel when this episode is over. Right now, you could be a little annoyed. I'm going to list some different things that I want you to start paying attention to in order to pick up on diet culture messages within your daily life. The first and most obvious one that I can think of is the celebrity who wore it best sections of the fashion magazines, where they literally will compare and rank and score women based on their outfit, who wore the outfit better. And I understand to a certain extent if this is a fashion magazine and they're only talking about the fashion, but when you put it in this perspective, when you put it in this context, you are literally ranking and measuring one woman's personal style against another's. And if you listen to the episode before, when we had Amanda on about personal style and dressing with confidence, your personal style says a lot about who you are. So for some editor of a magazine to pit you against someone else who wore the same outfit and to say that it didn't look as good on you because of the way that your body looked, that's mean. And what it's doing is normalizing that behavior in our culture. The more you see something, the more it becomes normalized. Okay? So think of it this way. You get a new car. You get a new car. You're so excited. Every single time you get into that car, you smile. You're happy. You're driving down the road, blah, blah, blah. What happens after 1 week? What happens after 1 month? The newness wears off. You're not as excited about the car because it has become normalized. Humans are very adaptable, so that means that we get used to things pretty quickly. So when these comparisons are coming up in magazines or on Instagram or wherever, the more often we see them, the more we think it's normal. We have been conditioned to expect women to be compared to each other. We think that that's okay to compare one woman's looks against another's and say which one we liked better. So I want you to start becoming aware of how this aspect of diet culture is influencing your own body image. Okay? Other things to look out for where diet culture is influencing you, whether you are aware of it or not. Pay attention to ads. What is this ad really showing you? What is it really telling you? If you buy this perfume, or if you wear this makeup, if you cover your dark circles, what's this ad really promising you? Happiness? A man? Relationship? Connection? Pay attention to the words that you see and the words that companies use to describe their products even. There are some products that are called, you know, ageless beauty. Okay, well, what kind of message does that send about people who are getting older? That you're not beautiful if you are aging? Like, that's literally what the message is saying, and that's part of diet culture. Here's the thing. You can't change diet culture in one day. Okay. You can't change it in 1 week. You alone cannot change it. But all of us together, being aware of what do these products say? What is this message truly getting across? What does this makeup slogan tell me? What am I really trying to buy here with my skincare routine? If your skincare routine is to try to minimize your pores, why? So that they look different? That's objectifying yourself. And this is so normalized that we don't even see it anymore. But the more you are aware of it, the more you can just edit your thought process to be like, my pores on my face are fine. I just want my skin to be clean and moisturized and healthy. And I'm going to use this product for these reasons and not to, you know, get rid of my wrinkles, not to diminish my pores, not to, you know, all these different aesthetic results. I want actual health results when it comes to my skin, when it comes to my exercising, when it comes to my food. That's what I want. I want to be healthy. I want to take care of my body. And taking care of your body, believe it or not, helps you look good because you will look healthy. You will be healthy. And healthy, happy people are the most beautiful, attractive people, okay? I don't care if you have the smallest pores and no wrinkles whatsoever. If you're not happy, if you're not enjoying yourself, if you have to take an extra hour before bed every single night to do your stupid skincare routine, you're going to be hating everything. You're going to be hating yourself. You're going to be hating your life. And we don't want that. So be careful, be mindful of what you see in the culture and I mean, diet culture itself, the different counting calories, making calories seem like they are the enemy, that they need to be monitored and watched. Yes, you do need to be mindful of how much energy you are taking into your body. And sometimes it is helpful to look at, yeah, how much fat is in this? How much protein is in this? How many carbs, whatever it is. But always through the lens of, what does my body need right now? How am I going to enjoy this food? How am I going to fuel my body with this? Because sometimes there have been certain foods that I realized were pretty high in calories and I just was like, oh, I didn't even realize that. I probably don't need that many. I'm just going to switch this for something else. Or the opposite has happened where I'm like, oh my gosh, this only has like 200 calories in this and I have been using it as a meal replacement. That is not enough. That is not enough calories for one meal. 200? No. So it's like, it's okay to be mindful of them once you have taken away how you feel about it and the energy around that. If you feel like calories are bad and it's going to send you into a spiral of counting calories, then don't for a while. Don't for a while. But diet culture is going to tell you that any type of change in your body, unless it is you losing weight and looking a specific way, is bad. Diet culture is going to tell you that unless you are dedicating a significant portion of every day of your life to exercise, to monitoring your food, to all of that stuff, you aren't healthy. But that's not true. Diet culture prioritizes the appearance of a woman's body above the actual function and health of your body. That's what diet culture is. It's judging people based on how they look versus if they're actually healthy or not. So being aware of this just helps you filter things out. It helps you be more vigilant about which beliefs you're going to hold on to or which ones you're going to say, oh, that is not an idea that I want to be on board with. So I'm not going to buy that product. Or I'm just not going to believe that. I'm not going to let that sink into my subconscious because these things do. And the more you look back and reflect on things like this, the more you will see how you got to where you are today. And then you have a roadmap to undo it. That's what I do with people who work with me one-on-one. Sometimes we will reflect on what the different beliefs that they've had, the different slogans, taglines, products that they used growing up and that they were around, and then use that as a map to see this is how your body image was built. It was built on these different ideas. And you get to decide if you are going to hang on to those building blocks or if you want to knock that down, start over, and get building blocks based in confidence, based in how your body actually feels and functions, and whether or not you are actually healthy, enjoying yourself, and being able to be present in the moment with your body. Because that's what it's all about, okay? We want confidence culture, not diet culture, okay? So that's what I have for you today. Thank you so much for listening. And I will see you on another episode of Confidently She. Bye.